You gotta do a quick practice.
We are in the latter stages. That'd be a good way to have a sermon started, isn't it? Of a lot of things. We're in the latter stages of daylight saving time. The latter stages of 90 degree weather. Sure, Blaine's already thinking about that. The latter stages of one president getting ready for another one. I'm too loud there, I can tell. The latter stages of the book of Revelation. We pick up in chapter 20 today, reading in the first verse and following. It reads like this. This is John speaking. I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having a key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss, locked it and sealed it over him, keeping him from deceiving the nations any more until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. Lord God, clear our hearts, clear our minds, clear our thoughts so we can look into your word. For Father, we do not allow the world to work its way through. We don't have any room for you. So give us patience and time. For those who grieve this day, give them comfort. For those who are facing surgery or treatments, give them strength. Give them the right medical procedures to happen. For those who are serving others who are ill or sick or lonesome or sad, give them perseverance. For all of us, God, give us your help and your love. For our men and women in foreign fields that serve us every day, both as missionaries and as in the military, bless them. For those who help keep peace over here and give us comfort in time of need, bless them as well. And dear Lord, may we be able to serve you at all times. Bless our congregation. Bless our nation. I ask these things in Jesus' name for your power. Amen. Okay. We started 4 or 5 months ago on this, and you probably thought it seemed like forever. Now it's over, and we wonder how fast it went. Sort of like looking up towards Christmas, isn't it? We get excited, and we get the coloring books, and we get the cards, and we buy the stuffed turkey and all the different things. And about 15 minutes after the kids get up, all the paper's on the floor, and the ribbons are floating around, and the toys are worn out, and they're playing in the boxes instead. And it's almost over. Do not be afraid. Of all the things you've heard ugly about the book of Revelation, the end of times, do not be afraid. Because we're not alone. You see, how does Bill sing it? God sent his son, his name was Jesus. And because God sent his son, whose name was Jesus, because this same Jesus lived a perfect life here on earth, going through the turmoils, hardships and heartaches that we go through. They killed him. Crucified him on the cross. Because he didn't say what they wanted to hear. And he didn't agree with their policies. And he was not afraid of them. Because he knew that we all will die a physical death until he comes back. Do not be afraid. In these final 3 chapters, 20, 21, and 22... people who study this do not all agree. The people who wrote this, John, the Revelation, Revealer, knew what the angel told him. I'm going to give it to you for your comfort. John said, I saw an angel coming down out of heaven. That word angel means a messenger as well as those heavenly beings. Came down to him, is what he saw. He had the key to the abyss. Now, if you've ever been the keeper of the keys, or if worse than that, you have ever lost a set of keys, I have 5 keys hidden in my truck. so well that I can't find them. But I always try to keep a spare there until they come out with these little chippy things, and now you can't get in and set off the alarm because I don't have any chippy things in my spare key. But keys are important. You know, this key wasn't to start a horse or a chariot or open up a house. This was a key to a lock because the angel brought with him a tremendous chain. Anybody ever see a chain that goes on a big ship? And like each link is like this, huge and heavy. I mean, great fishing weights. Probably you couldn't get it back up after you dropped it down. I envision a chain like that. So strong that when the door to the great abyss, the deep place where the devil will be thrown, where his servants will be thrown, the lock is put upon that and it can't be opened. That's what I envision. You ever get locked out of a gate and you shake the gate, particularly it's your gate, you shake it and shake it and the chain won't let go, or the lock freezes up, you have to go get WD-40 or Coca-Cola and pour on it and let the rust loosen up a little bit and finally you can work it. This is going to lock that abyss, that depth where Satan is trying to get out, attack the world for 1,000 years. He says, he sees the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil. In the first few chapters of the book of Genesis, the devil is introduced to us as a serpent, who is more subtle and supple and better looking than anything on earth. And he uses his ways to first trick Eve and then to trick Adam to eat the allowed fruit, the forbidden fruit. And he's been destroying mankind for the thousands of years since then. And we're at war. We're at war. Sometimes he's bold, like an army rolling over the enemy. Sometimes he's very sneaky and quiet. He works with whispers in your ear, thoughts in your mind to destroy you and your way of life and your service to God. He bound him for 1,000 years. Now, I don't recommend this, but when we were growing up, we had a lot of twine off of bales of hay. So we get each other down and just tie them up, hog time, you might want to say, and then run away. And say, tag, you're it, and then run away. And watch and laugh as they try to wiggle them way out of that baling twine. Well, God has the angel use a big chain that Satan can't break loose, and it binds him. And he locked it, and then he sealed it over him. He put a mark. It sealed it so it couldn't be opened. And they would know if it had been opened. And he kept from deceiving the nations for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years. If you look back into world history, from the time of recorded history, prehistory if you wish, you will see there's a lot of strange things that go among the nations. Wars that didn't have any reason. The most famous one probably may have been the Helen of Troy. The parts around that area that warred over a stolen love. But there's a lot of strange things that go on. God puts an end to that for 1,000 years. He wants the earth to get itself back together, to give it a chance without the contradictions that are going in their ears or the thoughts that are going in their minds. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I don't know who said he must be set free for a short time. Offense of God. There's a reason he did this. This is his plan. We can say, well, that's just not fair. My goodness gracious, do you think everything in this world is fair? No. Matter of fact, I can't find anything in any of the 66 books of the Old and the New Testament that says life is fair. It's full of turmoil and conflicts and death and suffering and disappointments. That's what we're promised. A difficult life, but a good life if it's followed Jesus. So when we say that's not fair, can't disagree with you. It doesn't matter because we don't make the rules. If we made the rules, we'd all live to be 90 and we'd die in our sleep with Pat Boone music, well, probably not, going on in the background. But life's not fair. But God will make it fair eventually. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had given authority to judge. God appointed the 24 elders to judge the world. They were sitting on thrones near and close to him. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus, because of the word of God. Beheaded for serving Jesus? Well, that would never happen, you say to yourself. Oh, contraire! It's happening in the Middle East today. Boko Haram and ISIS and all these groups who claim they're serving God, except they're not serving my God, because my God does not treat people that way, and He doesn't require things to happen the way they want to do it. If they're serving any God, it's a false God. It's Satan himself. And we, not us, we as a general population, are afraid to call evil sin anymore. We use words like, well, they're misguided. They're uninformed. They're going in the wrong direction. It's not their fault. They were brought up that way. To give them excuses. From what I read on that judgment day, there will be no acceptable excuses. You either followed Jesus and gave your life to Him, or you did not. It is your choice. He said, I saw the thrones on which the seated, those who have been given authority to judge. I saw the souls from those who have been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus. Oh, wait a minute. We're not supposed to suffer as Christians. Life should be easy. We go to Sunday school. We go to vacation Bible school. We may do a Wednesday every once in a while or a Sunday morning. We should have no troubles with our life whatsoever. Missed that verse that said that. As a matter of fact, I don't think it's there. The apostles suffered. Jesus suffered. Jesus was murdered after being brutally beaten and ignored and run out of his own hometown. If you think you're going to get out of this world without any suffering, without any hardships, because you've got Satan on your side, he's not making it hard on you any longer. You're serving him. Read a lot about spies. I'm doing a study on spies right now. And many times, a spy would be put into a group that they were against, and he'd be given the information. As far back as the Revolutionary War, he would be given information, and he would pass that information. The group is meeting at a certain time, come there, and they would take that spy for a period of time, and they'd rough him up as much as they would everybody else. His own people rough him up because they didn't want it out that he was the spy. Satan will rough up us as Christians because he wants to break our will. There's a term a couple months ago. I'm short. You all probably never noticed that. I'm really short. And you ever put the spigot in the shower of my house? Made it for somebody 6'4". So I leaned my head back one day to wash the shampoo. I waterboarded myself. Got down my lungs. I was choking and spitting, hollering for help. Maybe said, I'll turn the TV up a little loud. No, she didn't really. We suffer. Sometimes at our own reason. I guarantee you I'm not the only one in this building that has ever said, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. My fault. Nobody sat there and spooned it down my mouth. We sometimes bring our problems on ourselves. And then we say, well, God, I'm a Christian. I love you. I go to church. I put in a dollar or two in the offering. Why would you let these things happen to me? The answer is, I'm the same God that I'm crucifying my son. And with that knowledge, we're lifted up. He said, I saw the souls of those who have been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus, because of the word of God. If you're not ever looked down upon, frowned upon, laughed at, pushed aside, or ignored, maybe you're not talking about God enough. Maybe you just haven't given them a reason to think that you're not one of them. They had not worshipped the beast or his image. They had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. The mark of the beast. Has been talked about for centuries. we are told that those who serve Satan, who worship Satan, who worship the beast, his image, will be given a sign of agreement, the mark. Some have called it 666, the number that we don't want to use. I'm not superstitious, but I believe in prophecy so much that if I go to McDonald's, my amount comes to 666, I'll either move up to a larger drink or smaller drink or get an apple pie. For some of them, I'm hoping it does come up 666, so I'd like an apple pie. But that's not the reason. Those who serve Satan will be identified by him. Back of the hand or the forehead. Oh, but Dwight, nobody's going to actually do that. You've got to be kidding me. Back in the 70s when I first began to preach this series, they said, people can't do that. Who would know? Are they going to tattoo you? Well, if you go back to the late 30s and the early 1940s, there was a fellow by the name of Adolf Hitler and some of his henchmen, and they tried to arrest every Jew, every gypsy, everyone who was handicapped or impaired, everyone who was blind, anything like that that they couldn't use them for, and they would take them to the prison camp and they would tattoo a number right on their forearm. Very few of them are alive, but you can read about it and see it, a tattoo. They identified them as a Jew. They were supposed to wear a Star of David on their shirt and when they went out of the building, or on their coat sewed in, to identify them as a Jew. I don't know what God's going to do. Could it be a tattoo? Could it be a brand? I know what it could be today, which couldn't have been when I started studying this in 74. Be a little computer chip. Insert it in your hand. Insert it in your forehead. They do it to dogs. They do it to horses. They actually do it in some of the nursing homes today when we have wanderers or Alzheimer's patients who just may walk out the door so they can follow that chip and find them. There's a company called Skywatch that actually can do that. Now, a lot of them just put them on a wristwatch or something like that. They say, well, what if you lose a wristwatch? And by the way, now I'm giving you my impression. This part over here, it just is the mark of the beast. How could it happen? Well, anybody got a new credit card that's got a chip in it? Yeah. And you can just wave that credit card, or on your cell phone, you can wave it over receivers, and it knows all about you that quickly. Yeah, these things can be done. These things will be done one way or another. What they are, we don't know. I am not a conspiracy theorist. Actually, I am a conspiracy theorist. But I've often thought, wouldn't that be a good way for the government to take over? You know, now they're proposing. No bills over $20 to be made. Everything has to be done by credit card or by check so they can keep up with your money. Just a thought. Keep your eye on the news or ear on the news. Something on the news. Mind on the news. They did not worship the beast or his image. They did not receive his mark on their forehead or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They were murdered. They were martyred. But yet God did not let them suffer any greater than that. He brought them back to life. The 1,000 years we have a term for, it's called the millennium. And there's a period of time, it seems 1,000 years long, from the time Satan is thrown down in the abyss, that the church is viewed by the saints, by the martyrs who watch them for 1,000 years. There's peace on earth during that period of time. That's what God says. They reigned with Christ. They were his visors. They were his accompaniment. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years had ended. Now, we had several Bible studies on Wednesdays, a lesson about that. Where do you go when you die? Die, a word, is often interchanged with sleep and rest. The dead did not come back for 1,000 years in a period of rest. The second death has no power over them. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years. God's got it all planned out. All we have to do is be a part of that plan. We can't set the rules. It's not up to us. But we can abide by the rules and receive the rewards. When Well, that clock's off. Good. I got 7 minutes. Somebody fix that clock. I about gave you a short sermon. I know you don't want that. When the 1,000 years was over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations. Sabotage. Trick them. You know, when Adolf Hitler came to power in Germany, they thought he was a great man. Oh, my goodness. He was getting rid of all the destruction that happened in the period after the 1920 and the 20s period. Bringing cars, he had the Volkswagen invented. The great roads were put back to place. They thought he was great at first. He was deceiving them all along. Benito Mussolini won power to be the president of Italy with one statement. The trains will be on time. And he felt like, they felt like if the trains were on time, everything would be good. Obviously got him in the Second World War. He was a deceiver. When 1,000 years were over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth. That means north, south, east, and west. All around. Gog and Magog together for the battle. In numbers they are like sand to the seashore. Israel has always had enemies. Now, Ezekiel, actually the 37, 38, 39th chapters, way too long to read right now. Speak, you need to look at it. If you're really interested in this stuff, speak about the warriors from the north coming in to attack and destroy Israel. It's a good thing nobody's thinking about doing that today, isn't it? Yeah, you're right. Huh. When United Nations plans to take things away from Israel, including land, and give it to some Muslim nations. When even some of our own governments say we're going to have a divided Israel and a divided Jerusalem. And the Jews will really get along with the Palestinians now because the Jews have given the Palestinians everything they wanted. Huh. The world is anti-Judaism because Judaism stands for God. And the world is growing more and more anti-Christianity. Even our own nation is growing more and more anti-Christianity because Christianity stands for God. And that pot is going to boil enough. Y'all remember your grandmama's cooking with a pressure cooker? Put the top on and it starts steaming off. Another top, a little jingy thing, which means the green beans are about there. I'm ready. The world is going to crack and pop and work against itself until finally one day God says, okay, see what the best you can do. Gog and Magog, we can accuse it to be in Russia. We can accuse it to be in China. I don't know. And I'm not going to pretend to know because we're not told. But we're told this, they're enemies of Jesus Christ and his Father, Jehovah God. And with that, we've got to be careful. They marched across the breadth of the earth, surrounded the camp of God's people. Of course, that is the city he loves, which means Jerusalem itself. They will attack Jerusalem. They figure if they can attack and take over Jerusalem, they've won the battle, the Jews will be put to death. Then it'll be us next. I heard an Islamic imam, sort of like a rabbi, sort of like a priest, sort of like a troublemaker. Can you hear me? I heard him say, first we'll go after the Saturday people, and then the Friday people, which is the day they worship, will go after the Sunday people until they all belong to us or are dead. Those plans are being made. But you know the problem is, Islam didn't come up with that originally. God came up with that originally because he knew that's what it had to happen. That's the way it was going to go. They marched across the breadth of the earth, the shrine of the Lamb, land, the camp of God's people, the city he loves, but fire came down from heaven. It devoured them. A bomb, a flamethrower, atomic bomb, or the hand of God, it doesn't matter. He'll get his way when he's ready. The devil, who deceived them, was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown, and they were tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, we're not going any farther today because this is way too much to try to ram into 1.5 minutes. Are you scared yet? Don't be. absolutely just the opposite. For all of this that's going to happen is going to happen. Whether you're ready or not, it's going to happen. Whether the world's ready or not, it's going to happen. My simple statement is, are you ready? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been brought into the fold of God? Have you become a child of God? Surrendering, and it doesn't matter whether you're 90 or 80 or 18 or 12. Have you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Been buried with Him in the watery grave of baptism? Rise to walk in a new creature who cannot fail. Even the world will fail us, we can't fail God because He's with us. Our hymn of invitation today gives you just an opportunity to think about what you need to do and how your relationship with God. Stand with me as we sing hymn number 404. I remembered.
Close with 174. Take the name of Jesus with you.